Hello, this is Richard Alabone on webtalkradio.net, showing that paranormal states of mind can be quite normal if you can train your mind to relax into a special brainwave pattern when using a mind mirror. So first of all, I want to explain what that brainwave pattern is like and how the mind mirror helps to achieve it. As we think about things, a very small voltage gets through our skull, which can be picked up by pads, two on each side of your head. And these minute voltages are amplified and displayed on a computer screen. But the important thing is the frequency of these voltages. In other words, how fast your brain is working. And also, when in a trance state, the voltage on each side of your head is the same, which shows up as a steady pattern on the display. So with the mind mirror, you can train your mind to think in a particular way, or not at all. Of course, it isn't that simple, but various techniques like hypnosis, flashing lights, or special sounds all help to achieve the trance state, which is indicated on the mind mirror. My guest, Judith Pennington, studied this technique and now gives demonstrations, takes classes, and trains other tutors. So now you could say she is the expert. Her particular interest as a teacher of meditation is in helping people to bring about not only personal peace, but worldwide peace, by integrating the science of mind with spirituality to bring about happy lives which are fulfilled, prosperous and free. Let's welcome Judith Pennington. Hello, Judy.
Good morning.
It's actually, it's afternoon here, but never mind.
Oh, is it now? Aha, yes, you're on the east, on the west coast and I'm on the east. Well, good afternoon to you then, Richard.
Well, yeah, well, I'm ringing from the UK, you see, so it's a long, long way away.
Oh,
anyway,
are you?
Uh-huh. Anyway, I rang you and I'd like you to be a guest on my show talking about the mind mirror, which is something which I was personally acquainted with about 35 years ago when I went to Max Cade. Now, I believe you do use them in your work.
I do, and it's my favorite subject and my beloved work, thanks to Max Cade, whom I hold in tremendously high regard, and I'm delighted to hear that you knew him and know the work as well.
Yes, I went to his two sessions of his classes, so it was 20 weeks, actually. It was very interesting from a scientific point of view and from a paranormal point of view, which was my interest, but I ended up having a very significant experience, which I shall never forget. But that was a long time ago, and things have changed very greatly since then.
And when was that, may I ask? What year?
I don't know. It was about 32 years ago.
Wow.
I don't remember how long ago.
But still a significant experience. Sometime when the time is right, I'd love to hear what that experience was.
Yeah, well, I've studied all the paranormal, and I've written a book called Sublimity, and I've written up the experience in that book, of course, along with a lot of other things. I wonder if you could tell me how often you use the mind mirror. I know you do lectures and so on.
Yes, well, I had a significant experience myself in 1987 when I heard an inner voice say, sit down, listen, and record what you hear. And that set me on a course of doing what I call meditative writing. So I was a journalist and had learned to set aside my thinking mind as I listened to people I was interviewing. And 12 years later, I had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of these meditative writings that really led me into an awakening of awareness, such that while writing the book in Virginia Beach and visiting Edgar Cayce's ARE for the summer when I was writing the draft of it in 1999, I had moved into a hyperintuitive state of consciousness and very clearly heard, I said I wasn't going to publish the book if I didn't have any proof of what I was saying, because otherwise I would just have a memoir, a spiritual memoir, as did many people. And I made this vow that I had to have the proof, and heard very clearly that if I went over to the Edgar Cayce bookstore, I would find a magazine called Common Boundary, and in it I would get my proof. And there I found the work of Anna Wise, who was Max Cade's successor. And there were other scientific proofs that showed up intuitively, psychically, that I talk about in my book. But what ended up happening was that once I read Max Cade's science, as interpreted by Anna Wise in that magazine article, I realized that I would have the basis for teaching anything that I was interested in and had learned how to do in my awakening over that previous 12 years, and that would be dreams, that this brainwave map of consciousness was the basis for teaching dream interpretation, intuition, psychic development, what I call the languages of the soul, which encompass all intuitive awareness, synchronicity, you name it, heal the past. And so I set out after the publication of my book in 2001 to use Cade's work as the and Wise's work as the basis of my classes. And then in 2001, went right before September 11, interestingly enough, out to California and took a week-long seminar with Anna Wise, where I saw my own brainwave patterns, and they verified where I thought I was in consciousness. And then in 2005, I ended up hearing this inner voice that said, you have to go and study with Anna Wise right now. And I kept saying, it's too expensive. I can't afford to become a practitioner. It's too far away. I had lived in Louisiana. I lived already on the East Coast of the United States. She was on the West Coast. My ego had every imaginable excuse, but I finally kept doing these meditative writings, and they convinced me that there were things I couldn't know. So I went and actually spent a year studying with Anna out in Berkeley in San Rafael, California. And it was just the most glorious experience. I just loved the work. And it was clearly my destiny and always had been. At that point, I immediately realized why my inner voice had been so insistent. It was because Anna was ill with multiple sclerosis. So and in fact, she passed away last year. But after I studied with her that year, I would travel out to regularly two or three times a year, sometimes four times a year, to assist her in her week-long seminars at Esalen. I would draw the brainwave patterns and set up the equipment and serve Anna in her decline in whatever ways I could. She was truly a master, and I was truly her servant. And then I started assisting her in her practitioner trainings. And so all the while I was doing private sessions, mind mirror sessions, and classes like the one that you attended with Max, and teaching mm-hmm. as well. And then I began to teach in the field program for Edgar Cayce's ARE, meaning that they send me across the United States for day-long seminars, and I still do that. And then I was teaching or hosting group brainwave seminars over the weekends in New York City, and still do that in my home sometimes. And now I'm training practitioners. Somebody's coming in next month from India, and then in March from Poland. So I kind of have stepped into Anna's shoes, and by proxy, I guess Max's shoes, although I could never fit there. Probably high status in terms of development, but it's the work I love and hope to bring to the world. As a matter of fact, I have a book coming out next year in October called Your Psychic Soul. Edgar Cayce's ARE is going to publish it. And it is going to be an amalgam of psychic intuition and brainwaves, my two favorite subjects, and apparently yours too, at least up
well,
there.
Well, that's right. I've recently been researching a lot about part of the paranormal. My interest is the whole of the paranormal, but particularly this question of brainwaves and so on. Of course, it was all started by Max Cade, really. I suppose there were people working at the time on brainwaves, but it's blossomed so much. There's an enormous amount of research been done, and a lot of equipment, a lot of people teaching different methods and different names and so on. But I want, getting back to the actual mind mirror itself, you have one, do you, and use it?
I do. I have two mind mirror threes. So the one that you probably saw would have been the one with
it
the light.
It was one or two. It was a very old thing, yeah.
But I actually have the mind mirror three, which is a console. So Jeff Blundell, who worked with Max to invent that mind mirror, his nephew, Neil Hancock, who lives out in California, developed the Mind Mirror 3. It's a console and has recording capabilities and is attached to by cables to a computer so you can record a whole session. So I use that one because it is the only one to date, believe it or not, that has the capability of being hooked into a switch box with 9 terminals, which is what Anna was using at Esalen and I use also now for group trainings. And so you have these harnesses that go into each terminal so you can train increments of 9 to 18 people at a time so that you're switching back and forth to view their brainwaves, which means one leader for a whole class. And it's just absolutely fascinating because there are these resonances between people. And you see how their brainwaves affect each other and how they do on their own. It's really interesting. Yeah, and now there is another mind mirror. You can't get the mind mirror 3 except from a practitioner who's decided not to practice anymore. But the mind mirror infinity is now produced. It's the size of a cigarette pack and has a very lightweight wire, and the whole system goes into the size of my single console and also plugs into a computer, but it's not usable for group training, so that's why I use the previous version. And so I'm the distributor of that equipment, so it's still very much available and is getting better and with more capabilities all the time, the software is.
And of course, it enables more people to train their own minds and to use the equipment and so on.
Exactly, and that's what we're working on with the software, is to move it more into the area of self-training, put enough bells and whistles on, literally audio signals and video signals into the equipment so people can do self-training. So that's what's underway right now.
Yeah. One of the things that that fascinated me with Cade's work was that he had we used flickering light. There was fluorescent lights in his studio, and he had a system for flickering the light subliminally down from alpha down to theta, which he mentions in his book.
Yeah.
Now I wonder if anybody's doing that nowadays. Do you know?
You know, people do it in a variety of ways. They put strobes in goggles and have headphones that are connected to either binaural beats where they feed a tone, a frequency in one ear and a lesser frequency in the other ear, and then the brain averages out the two, and that gives you an 8 for alpha or a 4 for theta. So yeah, there's the light and sound, goggles and headphones. I do, believe this or not. I just had these two people come in from Australia for 2 days of private training. And the guy told me about an iPhone download that's called, I'm looking for the sticky note right now because I haven't got it myself yet. It costs $6 US, and it's called the Brain Shaper. And so you can actually download this onto your iPhone. And he was sitting out in his car and fooling around with it while I had his wife hooked up inside. And so he would hold his iPhone over his eyes and he would use the flickering. So yeah, the strobe is very much in use now. And I believe it, I'm not sure that music is attached to that program, but certainly the flickering is, yeah, the strobe effect.
It's all come on so much since I was involved with Max. It's so good to see, and it's good that that you yourself have taken over from Anna Wise, as it were, and it's still going on. And there are a good many different systems for mind training, either sound or lights.
That's right, and I should just point out here that even though I've self-appointed myself as Anna's successor, that there are other people. I'm just one.
Oh, yeah.
That there are a number of practitioners and who were trained by Anna. As a matter of fact, pretty soon up on AnnaWise.com, there will be a list of practitioners in various parts of the world. I think the feedback is that there are about 32, maybe 35 people in the world, Taiwan, Australia.
I've researched
yeah.
this a little bit myself, and there's at least one in the UK.
That's right. That's right. And they're all doing fabulous work. Now, they are integrating, most of them are integrating other modalities. For example, some people out in California have integrated the M-Wave, the heart math, physiological measurement for heart rate variability, which does a wonderful job of relaxing the mind and moving awareness into a light meditation state. So, yeah, as you say, there are many, many devices these days. But still, having the practitioner, the trainer, as part of the biofeedback loop, which is what Max set up, and using those hypnosis-based techniques and meditation structures to teach people to go down into deeper states of consciousness and to feel what that feels like, which gives people mastery. Now, machines can take you down to those states, but you still have to remember what it feels like to be in them in order to reaccess the state the next time. So you still have to develop mental mastery, because no machine can, you don't want to depend on a machine. What if the machine breaks, right? Or you're somewhere you can't use it. You want to be able to master your brainwaves so that you can access any state, the state of consciousness that is most appropriate. That is the way Anna defined mastery. And that's what mastery is.
Ah, yes. No, I'm sure that's very, very, very true. And one of the things that Max used, because he only had a few of his mind mirrors, and I was only hooked up onto it on a couple of occasions because of that, but he made great use of the GSR skin resistance measurement.
Yes, the ESR, yes.
It was very useful, and I found that I could easily control this thing. But when it came to going any deeper, I was completely useless. Weeks and weeks I went there and achieved very little. And it was only on one occasion that I, when Max was giving a guided meditation to which I clicked, it made a great difference, and I knew that I had done something mentally that I'd never been able to achieve before. But I wonder if people use those instruments nowadays. Do you know?
Well, we're trying to. Anna was able to get biomonitors, which was produced by Max's widow, Isabel Cade, and her current partner. In the 1990s, they were producing ESRs, but stopped doing that. And so I'm working with people in Boulder, Colorado, and Croatia to try to get them produced now. You would think it would be a simple thing, but the parts are handmade, and we're such a small group of people who want them, you know, because the general public would have to know how to use them. They are self-training devices and are wonderfully useful, and especially because a lot of people have a body-mind split where I can, in one person's brainwaves, for example, someone who had a lot of ingrained trauma and herself was a healer, she could produce the brainwaves of a Reiki master, which were an evolved, awakened and evolved mind patterns. But on the ESR, she couldn't get below a 3, and she needed to get down into a 5 and a 6 level of relaxation. And so I would not have been able to detect that body-mind split, which was her trying to control the meditation, you know. And so without the ESR, I couldn't have seen that. And so we had to do a number of meditations to get her to, well, actually, she wouldn't let go of the control. Finally, when I told her that the whole session was under her control, then she let go, you know. And
yeah,
the ego tries to protect us, you know, so that's what that was about. But yeah, the machines are really important, and I just really were working real hard to try and get more ESRs in circulation.
In fact, I made a batch of them and sold to somebody 30-odd years ago, and they were just a copy of Max's machines.
You made them?
I made them myself, yeah, worked okay. In fact, I've still got one here.
We'll have to talk about that later on. I would be really delighted to find out more about that.
I've got them. Send you one.
Tremendously helpful tool. I mean, as you found out, that's where it tells that there's a blockage or there's a disconnect or you need more.
Yeah. Well, I say personally, I had no difficulty controlling that skin resistance, but it was going deeper that I was too interested in the science of what Max was doing, I think, and so on. It's all very, very fascinating. I as I said previously, I'm so amazed how things have come on in the last 30-odd years. There's so much additional machinery and so many different systems available and so many more people using these things.
Yeah, and the internet has helped us tremendously too. And may I just mention that that if any of your listeners are interested in learning more about the science, that I have a internet site called brainwavetraining.com, and there are pages, brainwave biofeedback page and how it works page in particular, that show these brainwave patterns we're talking about and tell about Max Cade and Anna Wise and the Mind Mirror show. There's a video on there that shows actual brainwaves in a session with somebody. And then there's also, of all the wonderful things, recently someone has posted a series of videos of Anna Wise teaching in the 1990s, a group of mind researchers, and so I've got a link to that series of YouTube videos. So yeah, all these things are connecting us up, and I'm so happy to be connected with you, Richard, as well, and your listeners.
Yes, well, in fact, I'm sitting here looking at your website, judithpennington.com, and there's quite a lot of links and things of interest from there, of course. And you've written a load of books.
My book is The Voice of the Soul, the one I was working on. But I just mention that I tell you, I was a journalist, but and therefore am less inclined to write books, although I am writing several right now, than newsletter articles. And so I have two free newsletters if people are interested, that can be accessed through that brainwavetraining.com or judithpennington.com or eaglelife.com. And one is it's called The Still Small Voice, that's on dreaming and intuition, consciousness and meditation and the like. And then another one called One World Spirit, that is a magazine I edit. It's written by other people, and it's just fascinating, fantastically useful and relevant articles in there that I hope are going to help us personally and as a planet transform with grace and ease through this global shift of awakening that we're in the midst of right now.
Yes, I think that's the word, global shift of awakening. I like that. Yeah. Well, I must thank you so much for talking to me and telling me about your work and the Mind Mirror and Anna Wise's work and so on.
It's been an absolute pleasure, and I hope that we'll stay in very close touch and as soon as possible and talk ESRs and anything else that comes up. And just welcome your listeners to get in touch, and let's spread out this global network of spiritual seekers. And
very
thank
good.
You for interviewing me and for connecting.
Okay, so we'll have to say goodbye now, I'm afraid.
Okay, yep. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
As I used a mind mirror 30 years ago, I've been very pleased to learn how it's all changed. You've only got to look on the internet to see so many people using different techniques now to learn or teach meditation, lucid dreaming, healing, or mediumship. There are many different light and sound devices for do-it-yourself training, several hundred CDs for self-hypnosis, and even flotation tanks you can hire and listen to your own self-hypnosis CD. But the main thing to realize is that all these things make use of the same altered state of consciousness. And the science of altered states has only been discovered about 40 years by pioneers like Max Cade. Max had 4,000 people attend his classes, all achieving various degrees of success with altered states of consciousness. You can read about my own lack of success, but with one moment of with enlightenment, in my book Sublimity, which is available from Amazon. In that book, I've said that trance is misunderstood by science in general, and psychologists in particular, because its purpose has never been identified. Trance is where consciousness is limited in order that instinctive thoughts and actions can take over, rather than be rejected by conscious reasoning. Which means that the empty mind searches backwards and forwards, looking for thoughts to process, thus generating a steady voltage on each side of the head, as shown on the mind mirror. This description of why we go into trance and how it works explains the evidence that has been studied for 40 years, but without any explanation being found. The more trance is examined in this way, the more the evidence of different trance states becomes clear. For example, when there is some mental activity in trance, as in lucid dreaming, healing, or mediumship, there is a steady peak noted at the alpha frequency. But it has also been noted that during the heightened awareness state of trance, that the channel for instinctive information from mind to mind can carry non-instinctive information. This we call telepathy, which is apparent in healing, mediumship, or death of a relative, or even experiments with card guessing. In this way, the whole of the paranormal is understandable and explainable just by trance and telepathy, as a result of all the work done in the past by people like Max Cade. So I'd like to give a big thank you to today's guest, Judith Pennington, who is carrying on Max's work with the Mind Mirror. This is Richard Alabone signing off from WebTalkRadio.net for this week. Bye for now.